The final speaker for tonight is Donnell Brown. The R.A. Brown Ranch has been a family business since 1895 and continues to be a leader in raising top quality quarter horses and registered and commercial cattle. The ranch has received the National Cattlemen's Beef Association Business Century Award and American Quarter Horse Association Awards, and has consistently been featured as one of the top providers of seedstock genetics in the country. At the R.A. Brown Ranch, they have one goal: work hard for every day to provide excellent quality cattle made up of sound genetics from the breed leaders. They're proud to be a family operation, all sharing in a passion for ranching. Donnell's wife, Kelly, is a native of Nebraska from Curtis. Together, they are living the dream of raising cows, kids, and quarter horses. And his presentation today is how the R.A. Brown Ranch kept the ranch in the family. So I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It is an honor to be here today. I'm excited. It's been a fun day. It's been an informative day. And I hope to share some stories and some things with you today in my presentation. Let's see, the clicker is right here, and it'll be ready to go. All right. We'll see if we can make this thing go. Let's see. Let's transition that to a different set of slides, and that'll work even better. So, here, I want to know this. How many of you are first generation ranchers? Can I see a show of hands? Okay. How many of you are second, third generation, fourth generation, fifth? Excellent. How about sixth? Wow. Seventh generation. Any more than anybody seven or more? Anybody? All right. So I am thankful to be the fifth generation in our family business in my home state of Texas. I'm blessed to marry a Nebraska gal. Kelly Evans is her name. And so here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Get on Facebook and go to R.A. Brown Ranch. That's our family business. And tell my wife that you really wish she was here. Okay, so I was really trying to get her done. We're a family business. We tag team things a lot, and I'll leave, and she'll stay home and take care of things, and vice versa. But I do encourage you to check out our Facebook, our social media, Snapchat. All right? Perfect. Thank you very much. I do encourage you to check that out. And because my wife does take most of the pictures you see today are pictures that my wife takes, and she loves to put some inspirational messages with that on social media. So we are a family business. We've been for many, many years, and I want to share my story. I want to share the story of what our family has done to keep the ranch in the family and the family in the ranch. Our story has joy times, our story has sorrow, our story has things that worked well and things that didn't. And I hope our story can apply to your life and give you some things of what to do and what not to do. So, I see some of you on social media, and that's awesome. Kelly Brown, yes, she is the one. Kelly Evans was her name, grew up in Curtis. And so here's the question. Here's a quiz. I didn't want you to tell me how many squares are up there on that screen. How many squares? You can just yell it out. How many squares? 16. Oh, 17. How many squares? 24. Wow. Now I'm just talking one-dimensional, not talking about the Rubik's Cube, okay? Just one-dimensional. How many squares do you see up here on the screen? All right, let's do the math. 4 times 4 is what? 16. And one big one around the outside makes? All right, now let's take those that are 4 by 4, one in each corner. That makes a total of 21. There's another one right in the middle. That makes 22. Are there more of those that are 2 by 2? Yeah, there are. One on each side. There's one at the top middle, on the side, on the bottom, and on there. That makes 26 total. Are there more? Oh, there may be more. Are there more? Yeah, let's look at the ones that are 3 by 3. All right, there's one of those in each corner. That makes a total of 30. One-dimensional. Point of this is, When we first glanced at it, we saw 16, right? And now when we look at it, we see almost twice what we started with. And so as you look at your family business, I want to make sure that you end with as much as possible instead of leaving your estate without an estate plan and letting the government take half of it. Because if we do nothing, similar things like that will happen. So I encourage you to do that. Just keep working at it. Keep trying. Not saying it's easy digging, but keep working at it to keep working to achieve that goal. I do think ranching is a lot like faith. You know, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see. And it really doesn't matter where we came from. It's where we're headed that matters most. So today I want to talk about where we're headed. Share with you a little bit about our family business. This is our mission statement. It says that we are continually striving to improve the efficiency of converting God's forage. I'm talking about all that grass out there that you and I and chickens and hogs cannot utilize like a cow. Improve the efficiency of converting God's forage into safe, nutritious, and great tasting beef to better feed his people. That's why our family is in the cattle business. And we love what we do. That's our mission. Our number one goal is pretty simple, and that is to improve the profitability and the sustainability of our customers. We're diversified, but our main business is selling bulls. And so our number one goal is through our genetics and service to improve the profitability. All right, Bethany did an awesome job. She talked about setting goals, planning for the future, knowing where you want to go. Well, I'm going to tell you this. My wife and I, when we graduated from college, we both moved to the ranch in Throckmorton, Texas, and took a cut in pay from being full-time students. But we chose that. We could have done a lot of things that would have made a lot more money, but we made the personal decision to go back to the family business because we believed it was a wonderful way of life, something that we could do and make a living and provide an amazing atmosphere for our children. And I have no regrets. Yes, I look back on it, and yes, there are a lot of things I could have done that would have made a lot more money. But I don't know of anything else I would rather have done. So here's a question. Have you ever walked on a tile floor or walked on a sidewalk and you see the crack? Remember, you play the game where if you step on a crack, what happens? You've played the game. You break your mother's back. Now, my daughter-in-law is a kindergarten teacher. And I actually myself did a research project about 30 years ago with a group of kindergartners. Now, think about this game. When you look at that bottom left-hand corner, the tile floor, right? When you or the sidewalk, where when you're playing the game, where do you usually look? Where are your eyes drawn to? It's drawn to the crack. So I took half of this kindergarten class, and I said, okay, I want you guys to focus on the open place. Instead of focusing on the crack, focus on where you want your foot to land. We took those two groups of students, five-year-olds, lined them up, and we raced to see how far they could go before they broke their mother's back. It was amazing to see how much further they could go when their focus was one where they wanted to be instead of where they did not want to end up. So I challenge you to look at your focus. Focus on where you want to be, where you want your business to be, where you want your children and grandchildren to be as you look forward in your family business. As we do that, though, I'm going to give you a little history because I'm going to share with you our story and what we did. Our family's been in the business of raising cattle since the 1890s in Texas, prior to that in Virginia. But since the 1890s, we had horses, mules, and polled Angus bulls. Now, I don't know if Angus bulls were horned at that time, but they were really emphasizing the polled portion of that. And my great-great-grandfather, all right, The second generation of our family business moved to Fort Worth, about 3 hours north of our original home place. Moved 3 hours north to Fort Worth. How many of you have ever been to the Fort Worth stockyards? Billy Bob's area? Okay. My great-great-grandfather walked on those brick cattle pens many a mile because he managed one of the first commission companies at the Fort Worth Stockyards in the late 1800s. In 1903, he took money he made in that business and bought land in Throckmorton County, which is 2.5 hours west of Fort Worth. That's my home. That's where we live now. And built a ranching enterprise, took the first Hereford cattle to Throckmorton County. That was the cover of the Cattleman magazine and the Hereford magazine in 1928. That's my grandfather sorting out replacement heifers. He lived in this rock home that still stands today. He was one of the founders of the American Quarter Horse Association, which is now the largest livestock registry in the world and is in the AQHA Hall of Fame. He had challenges, just like we all do. And in the drought of the 1950s, well, let's back up. He went to college for a year until his dad passed away. And I can see heads nodding here knowing maybe that's happened in your family or you know someone who has. He came home to run the ranch. He didn't finish school. He had sisters and a mother and worked through that. In the drought of the 50s, the bank would not loan him money because they didn't have enough collateral as individuals. And so he convinced his sisters to deed their property to him and his mother so that it could all be under one. And yes, Bethany, where are you? Where'd you go, Bethany? Right back there. They wrote it down and how important that is. That gave them enough collateral, one unit, to buy enough feed to keep the family. Now, I'll tell you, when he was a kid, let me back up to this. When he was a kid, in the drought and the harsh in the 1920s, cows began to die. And as a teenager, he skinned cows and tanned or salted the hides until they would get a wagon load. And they would drive the wagon 65 miles and trade it for cow feed to come back and save the rest of the herd. That's just, you know, those are neat stories. We all have some challenges. My gosh, this past winter, we can all tell some stories, can't we? You know, so. But after that, they in the 50s, they did that. At the end of that drought, they made it through, and they deeded that land. He deeded that land all back as it was originally to his sisters and to his mother. But writing that down, I thought, Bethany, that was a great piece of advice. He moved to Throckmorton. He married this lady right here, and that was her mother. And her mother, all right, was my great-grandmother, and she deeded her part of the ranch. She was a rancher's wife, all right? She deeded her part of the ranch 3 generations tax-free. So my dad and my granddad never owned the property that my grandmother owned. They had life estate, but they never owned it, nor did they have to pay estate tax when they passed. And that land is coming to our generation tax-free. Can't do that today, okay? They closed that tax advantage or that opportunity, or some would call it a loophole. They've changed that. I really liked what Bethany had to say in find you someone, a good expert, who knows the law, who can help you find the right tool to use for your family. Because it changes. And I don't know any of us that have manure on our boots that do enough research to get the right tool that we need today. They got married and they had this young man right there. His name's Rob Brown. That's my dad. He was born in 1936 and that little boy grew up on the ranch. He loved it. He married another rancher's daughter. All right. And they had 4 children. I'm the youngest of those 4. And about 10 years after that picture was taken, my parents started doing estate planning. We worked through mainly our accountant and got some legal advice and started a limited family partnership. That would work. I'm not saying that's the best tool today. I'm saying that's what we used 30 years ago, and it worked well. Now, here's another thing that my parents did. I remember when I was a freshman in high school, they sat me down and they said, son, when you graduate from high school, you can go do anything you want to do. Man, and I was like, wow, this is great. They said, you can go to college if you want to go to college, anywhere you want to go to college. You can go to the military. You can go find a job. You can go rodeo. You can, whatever you want to do. But whatever you do when you graduate from high school comes out of your pocket, and you pay for it. That put a different twist on that not so cool part. But they said, we're going to give you two cows right now. You can run those two cows on this ranch. You decide how to breed them. You market the offspring. But this is your start. If you want to come back to the ranch, and then we'll give you work anytime you want work. Has anybody ever reached the end of the internet? That's about the same as saying, I'm finally caught up on the ranch. Amen? Can I get an amen on that? They said, if you want to come back to the ranch, you can come back in one of two ways. You can come back as an employee and work for the family business. Or you can come back with a business plan, Jim Rob. You can come back with a cash flow statement. And if the banker says he'll loan us money on this cash flow statement, we'll help provide the collateral as your parents to get this business started as a way to grow the family business. Because right now, this family business, it's like a pie. Okay? It's like a pie. And right now, this pie is big enough to feed this family. And if you're going to bring another family into this business, we need to grow the pie. And I thought that was very insightful of my parents. Now, as we went on to college and we learned a lot of things and we met young ladies and spouses that were willing to be our husband or our wife, Kelly and I met. She was the National FFA president in 1988, and we got married, and the family continued to grow. Okay, because of these, what started with these two right here. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Rob and Peggy Brown. Okay? Peggy Brown had a brother. Peggy Brown still has a brother. Okay? Her brother, they lost their dad when they were very young. And they split up the ranch, and her brother was running the ranch, and he lost most of the ranch in the crash in 1974. And my parents mortgaged what we had and bought out that ranch on a 40-year note from Federal Land Bank. My dad went to college. He was the first in our family to graduate from college. He went to Texas Tech University, majored in animal science, animal husbandry, actually. He came home to the ranch, and my grandfather was a wonderful traditionalist, a wonderful human being that people loved. But progressive is probably not a term that would be used to describe him. And so here comes my dad, and man, he is all ready to go and use all this new science that he had learned at Texas Tech. And his dad, my grandfather, squelched those ideas and continued to push those aside and said, you just keep working. You just keep working. One of these days, this place will be yours. About 10 years later, 8 years later, 8 years later, we had a ranch in Colorado, still have a ranch near Lyman, that we bought in the drought of the 50s while my parents were in college because we were out of water. One of the unique things about the place we live, my wife loves Nebraska water because in our home county, we have no underground water, no fresh water at all. We have to catch it and run off in dams, tanks, lakes, whatever you want to call it, ponds, and that's our drinking water. And yeah, sometimes you can't see the bottom of the bathtub because it's got some mud in it. And that's just, if I'm strange, maybe it's because of the water. But we ran out of water, and we bought this ranch to keep the genetics of our family business intact. And my grandparents, after the drought broke and we were able to restock the ranch in Texas, my grandparents would then go back and spend summers in cool Colorado. They loved it. And my dad got to be the guy in charge through the summer. But as soon as fall came and they came back home, he was pushed back down to the bottom of the totem pole. Well, in about 1965, my parents and my older two siblings went to Colorado to spend summer vacation. 2 weeks with my grandparents. And it was that summer that my dad and my granddad agreed on more things than they'd ever agreed on in their life. They agreed to start crossbreeding. We had a great talk early this morning about use of heterosis. My granddad wasn't real high on it, but for 8 years, my dad had been telling him about the advantages of hybrid vigor and breed complementarity. They agreed on more things than they had ever agreed on in their life. And at the end of that 2 week period, my grandfather had a massive heart attack and died. I'm confident that my dad is the man and the leader that he is today because he received his father's blessing to go and be progressive, to use his mind to make smart decisions and use sound science. I don't know where we would be without that 2 week period where my dad received his father's blessing. Have your kids received your blessing? I challenge you to think on that. I had a guy came up to me last week. I shared this talk last week. And a guy came up to me. He said, my dad, he never shared with me my blessing. And he went on to tell me this sob story about his life and how things were going. And I just asked him, have you shared your blessing with your children? And this look came over his face like, I can break that cycle. I've never even thought about it. So I challenge you with that thought. This is my parents' 50th wedding anniversary. Four kids, and my dad loves horses and served president of the Quarter Horse Association, president of four different cattle breed associations, and he was honored as last year in the cattle saddle and sirloin club, the highest industry honor given in the cattle in the livestock industry as a whole. Here's a question: how many of you have seen this picture before? Can I see a show of hands? A lot of you have seen this picture. That's at my house. That picture was taken by David Steckline. It's called The Lesson. It's his highest selling photograph of all time. David passed away about 3 years ago. That was taken at my house. I'm on the far right hand on the horse. My oldest son is in the second from the left. The rest are nieces and nephews. And those kids have grown up there on the ranch. That's 10 years after that picture was taken. Next year, we'll take the 20th reunion picture of those kids sitting on that fence. And now they've grown, and all but one of those are married now. But here's the question. Are you going to leave your kids on the fence? Or are they going to get their boots dirty? How do we get our kids involved? How do we provide that? Because I want to tell you, it's part of our story that I think is very important of how our parents got us involved, got us boots on the ground, and not just waiting for that someday, hope it comes someday, is Santa going to deliver? Okay? I think we need to work on focusing on a higher power than Santa Claus, and let's help make the right thing happen to keep your ranch in the family and your family in the ranch. We love dragging calves. Older generation on the horse, the younger generation doing the groundwork. But you know what? Sometime we've got to make that transition to let that next generation into the Brandon pen, a horseback, to do the things that we love to do, even though we love to do them. But I think it's important that we let them make some mistakes, that we let them get experience. We raise a variety of different breeds. I've worked with 19 different breeds of cattle in my lifetime. We don't believe there's any one perfect breed of cattle. We sell 800 bulls a year. We believe every breed has strengths and every breed has weaknesses. It's a family business. We work on it with a lot of different things. We also have quarter horses. Those are part of our thing. That's who we are. We're not married to any one breed. We're in the cattle business to make a living. And we have wonderful people that have worked with us. The guy on the right is my dad. The guy on the left is George Self. He was our foreman. His dad was foreman for my grandfather for 44 years. George lived all but 6 months of his 76 years on our ranch. He lacked one English class graduating from high school, but I'm going to tell you, George Self had more wisdom than about anybody I know, and he was a great mentor to me. And as we think about this family transition, it's important to think about the people that we work with also. Keep that in mind as well. And let's not leave them hanging. Now here's the reality. Sometimes when we talk about this, Bethany, you probably get this too. Sometimes when we talk about this, it's uncomfortable. We're all going to die someday. Okay? I mean, it's just inevitable. Or go up in the rapture, one of the two. I'm ready anytime. But we don't like to talk about our own mortality. Now here, so I know it's uncomfortable, so this is a disclaimer. All right, here's the reality, and that is that none of you have to change. None of you have to change anything you're doing relative to anything you've heard presented here today. But you will have to compete with those who do. And so will your children, and so will your grandchildren. So what can we do to help this generation be better set up for success? Well, I'm going to share with you some of the things that this couple did, Rob and Peggy Brown. They started 30 years ago in dividing up the family ranch by giving away a little bit at a time to each one of us as children. Equal amount every year, as much as they could with relative to the year that we had from a financial standpoint and what the tax laws said they could gift each year tax-free. So for 25 years, they gave away most of the ranch to us. Now, as the four kids, we all work back on the ranch. And we owned different enterprises that expanded the ranch. Some of us just worked for the ranch. But we were there, and they gave away the ownership of the land and the cattle in a totally undivided fashion. So each of us owned, as the four kids, owned a huge majority of the ranch in the fall of 2012. Keep in mind the key word, undivided. So each of us owned an equal portion of every acre and every cow and every horse. So at the end of 2012, my dad and my mom realized there are four in our generation and there's 17 of their grandchildren. And they came to us and said, we're going to divide up the ranch. And we had been managing it together as a family for a long time. But they said, we're going to divide up the ranch. So this image runs through my head that they're going to roll out the map of the ranch and we're going to draw lines that someday we'll see who gets what divided portion. Make sense? That's what was running through my head. And then Dad said, no, we're going to divide it up. We're going to give it to you guys. We have lived our dream. And while we're enjoying good health, we want to watch you and our grandchildren pursue your dreams. That's our passion. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. And then he said, okay, the oldest one, she should get this portion because they like to farm more, and so she'll get the farm ground. And then the next one should get this because that's more their interest. And that's when my mom put her foot down. And she said, Rob Brown, we're not going to do it that way. We're giving this ranch to these kids, and we will let them decide who gets what. Now, I'm going to tell you, my mother is a loving woman, but she's a stern woman. And she taught us all in her Sunday school class. And I'm going to tell you, this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, was one that resonated in our family greatly. These three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is what? Love. She said, y'all go meet once a month. Three of us lived right there in the county within 3 miles of each other and within three miles of mom and dad. And our oldest brother lived about 200 miles away. He had bought a ranch of his own. He was working there and with his seven children. And so we decided to meet once a month. But we couldn't meet at mom and dad's house. We had to meet somewhere else. They said, we'll be here, answer any questions you have. But y'all need to decide how to do this. And I'm going to tell you, my mother's a prayer warrior. And she bathed those meetings in prayer like you can't believe. And those meetings worked out really, really, really well. And what we did is we decided, okay, let's figure out what we think the value is of the ranch. And let's take the ranch and divide it into four equal parts based on value. Not on acres, not on what house is there or what pens are there or those capital improvements, but what each chunk of land and whatever assets were on it were worth. And maybe not that they're worth what they're worth, because we did not hire someone to come and evaluate the property. We just said, let's divide it into four equal parts, with the litmus test that we could draw those and on the map, we could number them 1 to 4, and we could draw a number out of a hat and be satisfied with any of those four parts. And that's what we did. And over several months, we met and we worked that out and we decided how to do that. And it worked wonderfully. It really worked well. That's not to say we all agreed. There were times we had to agree to disagree or say, that's close enough. And we ended up where, we divided the ranch that way. It worked beautifully. We didn't draw numbers because then after we got it all kind of divided into four parts, then we said, okay, does anybody have one of these you kind of really want? And all four of us had a specific portion of that ranch that was special to us for one reason or another. And we divided up the ranch. But then the question was what to do with the cows and the horses. We were in the drought of 2011, 12, and 13. We had sold most of the commercial cows, kept mostly registered cows with their increased value on a per head basis. And I had 300 of those cows in Montana. And in May, I went up there to plan mate every one of those cows to breed them AI. And the guy that we'd leased the place from came to us at the end of that week when I was in Montana, and he said, I just sold the ranch. You've got 45 days to move the cows. 70% of our home ranch was out of water. And that's when we decided to have a complete and total dispersal of the cow herd. Partially because the ranch needed rest and we needed water, and also because I was the one that was most passionate about the seed stock side, and my siblings love commercial cattle. They love farming. They love stocker cattle. They love horses, those things. But seed stock cattle and all the work and paperwork and records that went along with it was not their passion. So if we divided up those three herds of registered cattle, 75% of those papers were going to sit on a shelf. So we decided to have a complete and total dispersal. Sell every cow in the place so that mom and dad's life work could live on in herds throughout the nation. They said, but we don't want to do the work. We don't know how to have a big sale like that. My wife and I had been managing the seed stock division for 20 years. So we worked out a trade, a barter. He said, Kelly and I will manage the entire auction, a 3-day dispersal. We'll hire all the people. We'll get it all done. We'll do the catalogs, the photography. We'll do all of that in exchange for the opportunity to capture some embryos on the top cows of our family herd in the spring before we sell them in the fall. And so we did, so that Kelly and I could keep the roots of that family business intact and that the genetics of that herd. So mom and dad did an amazing work there. And it's worked out well. We're very thankful for where we are and what we've done. And all four of us are ranching in our own business. We help each other. We've always gotten along great. And we get along better now than ever before. The point of this little slide right here is there are a lot of different trails that lead to the watering hole. The main objective is to get a drink. There are a lot of different ways to do estate planning and to divide the estate. And Bethany, I'm going to assume your slides are on the in the proceedings and on that thumb drive. And so, because I thought she had some amazing information to help us on the detail side. Now, the reality is, we don't have to do anything. We don't have to use any advanced technology or tools. Don't have to use the cell phone that's in your pocket. But man, life would be different if we didn't. So there are a lot of new tools, and I encourage you to do that. This is one of the meetings where my siblings and I sat around the table and worked on that. Now, before we did that, before we divided all those things up, here's one thing Mom and Dad did. They started dividing responsibility. As we grew the ranch, we each grew it with things of our interest that we were willing to invest money in or borrow money to work in. And they divided things into areas of our expertise, our willingness to learn, our passions, and it worked well. I think it's important to do that for our kids. Not just not just the crap jobs. Okay? Now, my oldest sister and her husband love farming. My dad hates farming, and so do all my other siblings. It was beautiful that they wanted to farm. And they expanded the farm. And they made it better in partnership with mom and dad. It was beautiful. My son loved to work on the wildlife side of things. And so in my generation, we've left him. I like wildlife, but he has expanded the hunting to a great enterprise in our business. But here's the key thing. Divide it up. Give them that responsibility and let them have that responsibility. Don't keep taking it back from them. Don't keep making the decisions for them. Give them some rope. My dad gave me enough rope to hang myself a number of times. He wouldn't bail me out, but he would help me figure out a way to get out of it if I got tangled up. But we can divide those a variety of ways, but too many families get into the tug of war. And I hope yours doesn't. How many of you, I want a nod of your head if you know a family that's battled dividing up an estate. You know, and it's sad. And bitterness happens and relationships are destroyed. Here are my siblings. My oldest sister, Betsy, her husband, Jody, their three kids. And my brother, Rob A., and his wife, Tally, and their seven kids. My sister, Marianne, and her five kids. And here's Kelly and I. We're kind of the underachievers from the prolificacy standpoint. But we're sure proud of those two boys. But you know, we all face challenges in our lives. We face things that are going to challenge us, whether it's weather conditions, whether it's fire, whether it's things that we don't want to mess with that come across our trail. When accidents happen, we've got to be ready to know how to handle them. When drought occurs, those are all things, because when we run out of water, it's tough, but thank goodness it rains again and we can get a fresh start. I challenge you to provide that fresh start for your family, to go and do that and do it now like my family did, to divide up the ranch. Now, I'm going to tell you, during that 25 years when they were giving away a little bit every year, mom and dad were totally in control. We signed an agreement, Bethany, like you said, we signed an agreement every year that said we're not taking royalties, we're not taking dividends, all the money goes back into the ranch, it's mom and dad's. This is a deal so that if something, God forbid, happened to mom and dad, we're in a better state financially. Okay? Now, I can tell you this. Both of my parents are in good health. I have no idea what it's like to divide up an estate while mourning the loss of a loved one. I haven't had to deal with that. But I cannot imagine how hard it would be. I'm thankful that my dad's still in the saddle. And I cannot imagine the emotional distress that occurs when a family has to deal with the loss of a loved one and dividing up a ranch and the challenges that go with it. I'm just glad my dad was still in the saddle. Mom and dad were there so that we could talk to them and make sure that we knew what we could do. Because someday that day is coming. Someday that day is coming. So let's think about our families. Let's talk about the love in our homes. Let's make sure that we have the blessings and can carry on the family tradition. I want to share with you a little bit now about my generation and our two children. This is our youngest son, Lanham. I'll translate for those that don't read six-year-old Texan. It says, I'm happy because I live on a ranch and I get to work on the ranch. And our boys have worked on the ranch since they were little, and they've done a lot of things growing up. And they've had an awesome mother. And be sure and text my wife, Cody. Text Kelly. Say, boy, sure wish you were here. But she's home taking care of the business, taking care of the ranch. She had a meeting yesterday. She hosted a shower on Sunday. But we've continued to work to raise these two boys and teach them to do pick three things and do them the very best that you can. And they've grown and they've grown. One of the ways we did it was how to work together was they showed heifers. But neither one of them owned a heifer outright. Each of them owned 50% of their brother's heifer. And that way, when it was time to do chores, they weren't just going to feed their own, the one they were showing, because they owned 50%. It created an incentive for them to work together. They shared the costs of the feed. They shared the cost and the prize money and the marketings that they received. That little female right there, Craig Hayes, you know who that is? That happens to be the cow in the Red Angus breed that's produced more dollars of offspring than any other. $2 million with 400 calves. Her name is Abby Grace. Other ways that we taught our children to share. We cook a lot of sirloin. We cook our own beef, and those sirloins are big. So what we'd do is the boys would share a sirloin steak. One of them cut the sirloin. The other one got to choose which portion they wanted. It sure makes you think about how we're going to divide things up, starting as small children. There are a lot of ways that we can do that. We went to a lot of events. We went to rodeos. We went to sporting events. We went and did a lot of things. And in Throckmorton, a town of 800 people, they got to do everything. You know, if we're going to have a marching band, they got to take their shoulder pads off at halftime so they could play. That's just like a ranch, isn't it? We got to do everything. We got to do everything. When our son Tucker was a freshman in high school, he incurred a severe injury. He broke his leg right below the knee, both bones. He was out for 8 weeks. He set a goal to play college basketball. Now, I'm going to tell you, Tucker Brown at that time was 5'6" tall and 110 pounds. Okay? So we're thinking, boy, that's good, son. We're proud of you. You go get them. But we hauled him to every basketball camp you could think of and helped him to achieve that goal. Did it have anything to do with the ranch? Not directly, but it had a lot about learning about life, learning how to win and what it takes to win, and learning how to accept defeat when it comes. After that injury, he became the shadow of the coach. He didn't still feel sorry for himself. He learned things from the coach's perspective. He healed up, and he became the only player today in the state of Texas that has been named All-State Player of the Year in both football and basketball. He graduated 5'8", 130 pounds. Did he play college basketball? Well, he got a scholarship to go play college basketball at a Division III school. And we went to that first game, and we were so pumped and excited. And he got to, well, he rode the bench like a champion. And that first, they put him on a JV squad, and he was the youngest by a year. He was the shortest by 2 inches, the lightest by 20 pounds, and the fairest complected of all the players. But I'm going to tell you, his mom and daddy were proud of him. And we went to all those games. In the second half of that first game, he got to go in and play. Point guard was his position. And I'm going to tell you, the buttons about popped off this dad's shirt. We went to all the other games. And from that first game on, Tucker Brown was the starting point guard that year. And he was the starting point guard not because he could shoot better than everybody else, but because of the way he thought and how he helped everybody around him to be the best that they could be. We were proud of him. At the end of that year, they moved up a division. They did away with their JV squad. And he said, "Dad, I've accomplished my dream. I'm going to hang up my gym shoes." And he got involved in the university and became student body president. And he went, and during summers, he worked his tail off at whatever on the ranch needed to be done. One summer, he went to overseas and worked on, and even found some of our genetics overseas. And then he married his college sweetheart, and 2 years ago, they moved back to the ranch, to ranch with us. Don't own a piece of it yet. And here I am, 50 years old, and I got to figure, I've got to start planning. I've been telling y'all this whole story about what my parents and my grandparents and my great-grandparents did, and it's time for me to get started. My parents started younger than me, and here I am just realizing I got to get started. But we are thankful for the kids and what they've done. And we've tried to teach them the way our parents did. Now, that's our youngest story. Let me give you a little Cliff's Notes version of him. Tougher than nails and loves cattle and horses. But I'm going to tell you this. One thing in our family for years and years, coming back to the ranch has never been a birthright. It has always been a workright. If you want to come back and be a part of the business, you got to put blood, sweat, and tears into it. That's been an important part of it all the way through. Lanham, 3 years younger, he endured some challenges as well, just like we all do. He also played in the state championship like his older brother did, won a state championship, all-state quarterback in Dallas Cowboy Stadium on a six-man football team. That was a lot of fun. And he also loved to play golf, and he was the number one golfer in the state of Texas small school division. Our boys have grown, and we've learned, but here are the things we felt like are most important to teach our children. To work, earn, save, and invest. And if you don't write down anything else today, I encourage you to write that down. Let's teach our children to work, earn, save, and invest. They heard me tell that story about when I was a freshman in high school, my parents said I could go do anything, but I had to pay for it after high school. They heard me one time share that story when they were 12 and 9. And they said, "Now, Dad, you're not going to do that to us, are you?" I said, "Oh, yeah." And both these boys paid their way through school. Because they learned to work, earn, save, and invest. That's my dad's old office. It's mine now. I used to think he just sat in there and didn't do much. Boy, was I wrong. But my boys, they might think I do that today. But that's where we feel like it's important for them to get boots on the ground and learn every aspect of our business. To learn every portion of our business as we press on to win the goal. Press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. I still don't know a better place to raise a family, a better thing to do for our children. But I've got to make sure that we work to keep the ranch in the family and the family in the ranch. And to do that, we've got to get off our duff and get going and start making some practices and some decisions and some planning for the future. Now, Lanham, I told you he loves horses, and he is passionate about horses. He took this four-year-old that nobody else on the ranch could ride. He said, "Well, I'll take him." He was a freshman in senior in high school. He took him and he showed him and made him the AQHA High Point Horse of the Year in Ranch Horse Versatility. And then the fall of his freshman year in college, he was coming home from a horse show. It was late, and at 12:23 a.m. on that Monday morning, my phone rang. And I got a phone call from a number I did not recognize, which doesn't happen at 12:23 a.m. at my house. The voice on the other end said there'd been an accident. The guy's phone, he said he was following the pickup and trailer on the interstate where the driver had fallen asleep, went towards oncoming traffic. Before he went into the oncoming traffic, his pickup right at the driver's side door hit the big concrete pillar that holds up the overpass that he was going under. It took off his door, it tore off the bed of the pickup, it tore the tongue out of the trailer and immediately stopped the trailer. As you can see, it crumpled like an aluminum can. The two horses in the back were tied in the back of a 24-foot trailer. They broke both lead ropes, went through two petition gates, 10 bales of hay, all the saddles intact. The High Point Horse of the Year was dead on impact. When the pickup came loose from the trailer, the pickup rolled twice before it came to a stop. That was my son in that accident. And by the grace of God, he's still with us today. The police said it's the worst accident they'd ever seen anybody walk away from. He undid his seatbelt. He jumped back to check on his other horse, or his horses. And he lifted up the petition gates they were both laying under. And the young two-year-old horse stood up. he went back to work with a whole new aspect on life, with a whole new appreciation for the blessings of what life is. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that because that two-year-old horse became the AQHA world champion that was in that trailer. And the rider was my son that both survived that wreck. My mom taught us a lot of things. And this one especially, this prayer. God, please grant us the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I pray that prayer for you today as well. I hope that this talk has helped you to look at things. And another thing I think is important is to keep things fun. We got plenty of work to do, but keep them fun, Cody. Those kids on the ranch, keep them fun, Craig, so that when they have a good time and they want to be a part of it. You know, I told you my grandfather went to Texas A&M. He was on the polo team. And when his dad died, he came back home and he taught all the cowboys how to play polo. And on weekends, they would trail four horses a man. They would trail them 65 miles to Abilene, Texas. And they would play polo all weekend and drive their horses home the next day. Keep things fun and enjoyable. Our team competed in the World Championship Ranch Rodeo just a weekend ago. We love to hunt. We love to play. We love to fish. Keep it fun, I think, is important. Find someone who can help you find the right tool for your family. Having the right bit in the saddle house, more importantly, in your horse's mouth is important. Having somebody who knows which bit to pick is very helpful. So that's where I'm going to encourage you to take Bethany's advice. Find someone, a lawyer, an accountant, someone who knows a specialist about estate planning, and make plans for your family. This is a, we can go ahead and plug this in, 3-minute video I just want to show you. And I look forward to the bull session tonight. I'm almost done, but I want to share this with you. This is Texas Beef Council did this little story.
And so I'm just so thankful for the foresight and the love that Mom and Dad shared to keep the ranch in the family and the family in the ranch. A couple of years ago, they said, all right, we're going to pass this ranch on, and we want y'all to live your dreams like we've lived ours. My dad has always been a visionary. My dad has been one that's always been on the leading edge, the forefront, ready to step out there and try new things. He and I share the similar passion of striving to raise the very best genetics that we can. And so we've worked a lot together, side by side, through the generations. And I'm thankful Dad still comes out here to the ranch virtually every day. And we continue to look to the future of how can we be better. We can take a simple hair follicle and measure 50,000 gene markers to measure the genetic merit of these animals to a great degree of accuracy.
He studies and he researches and he works so hard at taking the strength of one animal and pairing it with the strengths of another. I mean, it's changed the face of one breed. There are people probably all over the country that would tell you that the herd of Red Angus that we have here is the best. Probably the best in the world. He's probably not going to tell you that, but there are people across the country that would tell you that.
He loves what he does, and you can definitely see it in his eyes and with how he talks about the ranch and how he works for the ranch and how much time and effort that he puts in. But then also, he makes time for me and my little brother.
The thing that really gives Kelly and I pleasure is going and watching our boys give it their best. And so Kelly and I really tried to develop those skills they have to be the best that they can be at the area of which they feel called. Well, Tucker grew up here on the ranch, riding, working, and he's willing to do whatever needs to be done. He's ready to go do it with a great attitude. Lanham loves horses. And he loves training horses and really understanding how a horse thinks. And that's not always easy to do. But he loves really understanding and working with that horse in harmony, and he's really good at it.
Something I learned from my mom at a very young age You can't make somebody want to train a horse. It takes a lot of patience. And Dad's more on the cow side, Mom's more on the horse side. The passion I feel for the horse industry came from her.
From the time they were little, they wanted to go with Dahl. You know, they wanted to be in the pickup with him when he was tagging calves, or they wanted to be horseback with him. And so I think Tucker said at one time in an essay he wrote for college that too bad every young person in America couldn't grow up on a ranch like I did. That's what he said. I'm proud of both the boys. I mean, they have done remarkable things. I think they're very tied to the land and to our family. And so, you know, I can kind of get choked up talking about it, but there's been a lot of prayer and there's been a lot of time, and we've poured our lives into them. When my boys accomplish something that they wanted to, that they worked really hard for, that they set their eyes on, there is something as a parent, you just kind of feel it coming up within you. Oh yeah, that's what we've been after the whole time. And so I'm excited about them and what their future holds. If their life's work is somewhere else and their passions are somewhere else, I feel like they're equipped to take that next step.
I hope this talk today has caused you to think. Now, Logan, you can text Kelly and you say you saw her name on the program and you heard her speak at Range Beef Cow Symposium, okay? If you're in the driver's seat, remember the ones in the back seat are looking forward, wanting to know what's next and what their role is in it. It's not easy. We make a lot of mistakes. We hope to make the right decisions. And I challenge you to, that this statement was made many years ago to me. He said, don't let what you want cause you to use bad judgment. And that statement has rung in my ears for many, many years. Are we looking back? Are we looking forward? I've got a couple of more short stories that I want to share with you tonight at the bull session. But I thank you for the time today and your attentiveness. And I hope and pray that this story today has helped motivate you to get the ball rolling. To start that conversation with your spouse, with your parents, grandparents, children, grandchildren. To keep your ranch in the family and your family in the ranch. God bless.